Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
In issues of racism, there are going to be some who will say, why don't you stick to preaching gospel?
The social, political, and economic concerns have increasingly encroached upon the minds of those who should know better.
The real transformative work in a nation is the transformative work of the gospel.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So what's on your mind?
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here! Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Whatever is on your mind, please download it by sending it to idea@wretched.org. And if you have questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, you can text them to 877-282-2337.
Standard text messaging rates apply.
No.
What?
Were you going for the big voice announcer guy?
No, I just need a drink of water.
I see. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from William, and this is an interesting question. I'm wondering, Todd, about the depth of financial transparency a church should provide to its members, specifically regarding staff salaries. Some churches show only the total sum of all staff salaries in their budget, while others list each staff member's salary individually. I've seen both approaches in different churches. Full transparency, though, seems ideal.
Yeah, he's exactly right. There is a broad breadth of understanding and application of transparency. How much do you need to know about where your money goes? Specifically regarding salaries, and this is an issue where good churches have different takes on it. Please note, there are some churches who will disclose everything. A pastor will preach from the pulpit how much money he makes every year. That is transparent. You got other good churches who are like, we'll be transparent with a lot, but not with that. What should it be? The answer is, I think it's up to each individual church. They've got different reasons. They've got different philosophies about it. And I think that different churches that are good can arrive at different conclusions. But that doesn't quite resolve the, hey, I want to make sure that my church is spending money rightly. That, I think, is behind the question, because we all want that, don't we? Might I offer this as a possible way of viewing the accounting and the finance department at your church, including salaries of pastors or anybody else who is on staff? Don't look at their QuickBooks. Look at the church. Are they biblical? Are the leaders godly? Is the word being exposited? Is communion being administered? Is discipline being applied? Is this a place where you know God is at work? Then I would suggest to you, you probably don't need to know. You just don't. There's something about salaries that I do. On the one hand, I see it. It's like, well, a pastor shouldn't care. Just tell it. But on the other hand, it's like, well, that seems to be like kind of intimate information. So I wouldn't judge my church on their degree of transparency as much as judging the church based on the church itself. And if I've concluded this is a church aimed in the right direction, I think you can give cheerfully and freely without knowing how every single dime is spent. Jimmy, you got an opinion on this?
I've got lots of opinions on this. I think there is a big difference in transparency and privacy. I think a church can be transparent with its membership and not disclose private financial information.
You know what we just learned here, Jimmy?
What's that?
I'm not a prophet, because I wouldn't have guessed that was your take.
Really?
Yeah, I would have thought you'd be like, full disclosure, a pastor. And I understand, I truly do. But I also agree with what you're saying. And typically when something like that happens, what are you dealing with? Adiaphora. You're dealing with a gray area. Different churches can do it differently.
Yeah.
And again, I think looking at the elders and the faithfulness of the church will help you to overlook a lot of what you potentially perceive to be financial sins. they're making decisions and thinking through things at a level that the rest of us aren't. Why? Well, that's what they're called to. They spend more time thinking about spending than you and I do. So if I walk through the lobby and I go, well, that couch is kind of expensive, I stop myself and go, wait a second, hold on, these guys are godly. I know how they live. I know what they drive. I know how they preach. There must be a reason for this that I don't understand. There usually is, frankly. There are a lot of, not just churches, but parachurch ministries. I think that they can justify some spending that some of us wouldn't, because there's an economy of scale, the zip code, what their ministry is about, budgets, all of those things. There's going to be some variety here. And I don't know that you're ever going to be satisfied with anybody's accounting. I just don't know that I can tell you, everybody ain't going to be happy about every single church's financial statement. There's going to be discrepancies. To overlook that and to give joyfully, look at the church, look at the ministry. How are they doing? What is their impact? Are they feeding me and my family? Then I think you can give pretty joyfully. Now you start to see something and it's like, hey, wait, I'm just curious. Parking lot has a Lamborghini. Who owns that? And if you discover it's the pastor, okay, fair enough. And then he's wearing a ring that makes Elvis blush. Like, oh man, that's a little gaudy there, pastor. Then maybe you got some reasons to then respectfully approach the elders, but not on everything. And remember, you're not giving to your church when you give to your church. You're giving to the Lord. If they're making mistakes, whether intentional or otherwise, that's not on you and your giving. You want to be a good steward. Be smart. Wait, our ministry, we're at the Evangelical Council of Financial Accountability, whatever.
ECFA.
That's the one right there. You can check us. That's fine with us. But overall, take a look at what the ministry is accomplishing. And if you think that there's big problems, you have every right, you do have every right to respectfully approach those in authority and ask what's going on, not demanding, I got to see QuickBooks, open it up, give me the password. I'm concerned, Pastor. I'm seeing some things. Help me understand, because I'm sure there's a good explanation for this. You got anything else, Jimmy?
No, I mean, I think if it's a good church, that's the qualification, I think, is if it's a good church, everything is right and biblical, and you have no issues, then just submit to the elders. That
you'll be happier, yeah, too. You really
trust
will.
Them.
Just trust them. And I've got to do another shout out. I think I mentioned this yesterday. 60% of people are living paycheck to paycheck right now. Churches giving is down. Parachurch ministry giving is down. People are struggling a lot. And I would again say, if you happen to be in that demographic, you should not be under compulsion to give what you don't have. Take care of your family. Work hard. Let's pray we get some politicians who make better economic decisions. And give when you have something to give. Because if you give what you don't have and you go into debt, that's closer to sin than not giving. And if you happen to be in the 40%, just an encouragement, you could really bless your local church. You could really bless parachurch ministries by maybe consider, could you do more? There's a deficiency there. A bunch of Christians, they still need to be fed. They still need to be in church. They still need to listen to sermons online. Whatever it is, if you can, maybe an encouragement to step up at this time. idea@wretched.org.
All right, this next question comes from Mitchell. Todd, I have been experiencing fear and distrust in myself when confessing my sin. I struggle to believe that I'm truly repentant. This fear leads to obsessive thoughts and repetitive scripture quoting. How could I find assurance of forgiveness?
Actually, I would tell you to do what you're concerned you're doing, and that is the repetitive scripture quoting. That's your greatest tool, the sword, the word of God. If you are in Christ, here's the truth. You're not guilty anymore. That is the truth. You've repented and put your trust in Jesus Christ. You say, I haven't repented enough. The fact that you're concerned about it indicates you've repented, because your repentance needs repenting. Nobody repents enough. Nobody believes enough. It's mustard seed. You've turned from your sins. You put your trust in Jesus Christ. You have God's word on it. You are in his kingdom. You're not guilty anymore. So memorize the Bible verses that remind you of that truth. And when the lie, the accusation, maybe you didn't do enough, maybe you haven't repented enough, your repentance doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. He grants you repentance. It is a gift of God. It is not a work, but it's never going to be the type of repentance that you think earns you salvation. That's the fallacy in the thinking that Jesus would forgive me if I repent more. I need to shed more salty tears. How many? Oh, you don't have a Bible verse for it because it's not in Scripture. Turn from your sins. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. Trust his word. And when the accuser says, you're still guilty, shame on you. You quote the Bible verses until truth defeats the lie. Because if you are in Christ, you are not guilty anymore. This is Wretched Radio. Gotta tell you, the Masters Academy International, it's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical. Teaching men how to preach the word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. If you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that if and you want to at wretched.org/pastor.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Picture this. Later this year, 8 brilliant minds will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of the Daily Wire. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
All right, folks, you've stumbled upon the sale of the century. First up, we've got the Transformed Bundle, Seasons 1 through 3, $49.99. Or how about the Road Trip to Truth Bundle, Seasons 1 to 4, now just $49.99. And the grand finale of it all, the Wretched Worldview Bundle, Seasons 1 and 2, now just $29.99. Head over to the Wretched store right now at wretched.org and grab up these bundles before someone else does. And let's face it, missing out would be a real tragedy.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. Meet Dr. Greg Gifford. Of course, most of you have already met him as he hosts the Transformed TV series and the Transformed podcast. We are so excited about the continued content that he will produce, and your support can help us bring more voices like Dr. Gifford's to the forefront. Just join our $250,000 match campaign today, where every dollar you're able to give will be matched. All the details are at wretched.org/fellows. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the apostle of our confession. An apostle is one who is sent. Jesus is the one sent from the Father and empowered by the Holy Spirit to deliver the gospel in which all Christians confess their belief. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now, a dramatic presentation, I think. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, do you have a perhaps dramatic presentation of a Christian who finds his confidence in the Lord being able to talk about good things about himself?
Well, no. That's not where I was going. I was going to go with the reluctance to boast in oneself.
Yeah.
And I understand that. And the example that I was going to give, I was going to harken back to the last segment when you talked about the podcast ratings that you shared that I found.
Yeah.
You didn't mention that I also found the ratings for Wretched Radio. You just spent the time boasting on Greg's success.
Yes.
And so that was an example that I was going to give.
You mean you're saying something nice?
I actually am.
Listen, Carmo Corn, it's a very good day. You can be confident in Christ. That's our confidence. That's our surety. That's our position. That's our reputation. So then when it comes to how many degrees you have, how many years you worked, what sort of sales quotas you met, that ain't bragging. You're just, this is what I did. Now, if it's like, yep, and then at the company Christmas party, I got a toaster oven because I'm salesman of the year, baby. Okay, that's boasting in self. Paul was very reticent to do that. That's 2 Corinthians. That really is kind of the key to understanding what in the world is going on with this book. Because Paul is, you can feel it. It really starts in 2 Corinthians 8, makes its way through 9 and 10. Okay, false teachers, they're accusing me. They're trying to undermine me. And they're stealing you from me. And it's grieving me. So, okay, I'm just going to tell you who I am. But I don't want to do this because I don't want to brag on myself. And it goes on and on and on and on. It's good to have that sort of reticence. I think the second that you become very free with sharing with people all the good stuff that the Lord has done through you, with, especially without mentioning the Lord, then it's probably boasting. There should be a reticence in the Christian because we don't want the spotlight on us. So always remember who's doing it in you. Yeah, you actually genuinely play a role in it. It is a synergistic endeavor. But it's God, not I, but Christ who lives in me. And then you won't struggle quite as much to talk about your resume appropriately. Thank you for that non-dramatic recreation right there. 1-877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text that came in from Daniel. Todd, within the past year or so, I've been learning more correct theology, and I've realized that the church that I've been attending since I was 8, I'm now 21, as a false church.
Ooh.
One of the secondary problems I have with the church is their stress on the King James Version of the Bible. They believe that if you don't have the 1611 KJV, then you don't have the Bible at all. And all other translations are satanically driven to deceive believers.
Right.
Do you believe this alone is reason enough to leave the church?
Probably not. Not that alone. You can certainly disagree. I would disagree with my fundamentalist brothers and sisters on that regard, but I wouldn't. If it's a good church, are they expositing the word? Are they faithful with discipline? Do they administer the Lord's table? Sufficiency to leave? No, I wouldn't say that. Now, should it become an issue, it becomes problematic in working it out? Maybe, but do you have options? That's always got to be on the table. What choice do you have? And this is where too many of us, I'm afraid, have made some perhaps sinful decisions to leave a church over an issue that doesn't warrant departing from a good church. We find a better church, or it's our thing. They've got what I really dig. They have a pipe organ. I'm going there. Okay, if I were in a good church and I discovered another, I'm in a good church, and they play the contemporary worship music that drives me nuts, and I find out there's a good church with a pipe organ, would I go? No, wouldn't. Would I want to? Yes. Would I just pack it up and go? No. It's just, it doesn't rise to that level. But if it gets to the point where it's so problematic, now let's just say, and it could, sometimes I think pastorally for ourselves, we need to write, there can be some things that it just, I can't go to worship. this boinkety boink music, the dingity and the moody, and they do the fog machine at the drive me nuts. Then it might just be a healthy thing, but it should be a slow thing. Just because you have a better option, it might be just because it's an option of an issue that you really have a thing for. Maybe you could go, but be very slow. And as a rule, I would say, somebody who insists on a particular translation, that wouldn't on the face of it be enough to abandon the church.
I look at it like, I mean, obviously, we know that your church is a family. You know, you're brought into the family of God. If you take that to your actual family, if you see a family down the street when you're a kid that has a swimming pool, you just don't abandon your family.
That's a great illustration. Right. Now, there's your dramatic. Now, that's a good illustration right there. You came through.
Yeah, thank you.
You know what? Who was I with? I think it was Mike Fabares. He kept using the like a bio family. Somebody was mean to you. Your sibling wasn't very warm when you came home. Do you leave the family? Of course you, because you're in the family. If you're in the family of a local church, you are in that family. Anytime you start to get a wanderlust, think about the church as a family because, well, it is. 1-877-282-2337.
All right, this text comes from Anonymous. Todd, if you feel like you're going to die, so you pray and tell God that you promise to change your bad behavior, and lo and behold, you slip up and once again do the very thing you promised you wouldn't, how do you approach that? What's your scriptural answer to that?
Repent again. That's all. Repent again. And get back on it. And don't stay stuck. And don't say, Lord, I made you a promise. I biffed it. Therefore, promise gone. Keep your word, especially with the Lord. Breaking a vow, woofta. That is not a wise thing to do. Idea@wretched.org.
All right, this one is from Jonah. Todd, as believers in the Trinity, when we pray, how should we address the Lord properly? We say things like in Jesus' name, but aren't we praying to Jesus? And also we do this by your spirit, yes, but also aren't we?
Exactly. Here's a good pattern for us to follow, that we pray to our Father through Jesus the Son by the power of the Spirit. That's the principle that can guide you. But you have every right, you have all the access to each member of the Trinity, to each person of the Trinity, you can address them. Holy Spirit, would you please grow me in long-suffering? Please, would you help me with it? Ain't nothing wrong with that. But I think the biblical pattern, we say, pray to the Father through Jesus the Son by the power of the Spirit.
All right, this one is from Levi. Todd, what's your thoughts on James, where he says that man is justified by works and not by faith? Yeah. I'm struggling to reconcile this with the other teachings of the New Testament.
Go read Romans 4 and then send your conclusion back. There's James, Romans 4, and then right back to idea@wretched.org and tell me what you've learned. There's your home. You didn't think that by sending an email, you would actually get homework. Screw it. You got to compare scripture with scripture. First of all, James would be denying the totality of the entire Bible. Furthermore, James would be denying the grace that he actually touches on in the beginning of the book. Furthermore, it would be in direct contradiction to Romans chapter 4. That Abraham is the linchpin in this. And you can't just read James about Abraham and conclude, whoa, he worked for it. You got to go read Romans 4, and then you interpret the unclear in light of the clear. Can't wait to hear your conclusion about grace alone through faith alone in Christ alone.
You're just looking for the answer to
it. I just helped him cheat. Okay. What I just did. There's a first. I'm normally the cheater. You know, I got a phone call from Tom Buck the other day. It was such a treat. And he said, hey, he's working on a book with Vodi Bakum. It has something to do with hermeneutics. And he said, I'd like to use your term, principalization. And he said, I'll give you credit for it, but, you know, can I use it? And I'm like, well, that's super kind of you to ask, but I don't know that I may have ripped it off.
And I didn't give anybody credit.
I just took it. So let me go check that for you. Idea@wretched.org.
Okay. This is from
what,
my...
You think I was going to talk about Tom Buck for another minute?
I thought you would.
I could.
All right. So this is from Mike. He said, Todd, I've been constantly rejected when trying to date, and it makes me sad and hurt. What's the best way to overcome these feelings and find value in Christ instead of relationships?
There's your prepositional phrase. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Know your position. Know your reputation. Know your status with God. Know that. And then the wounds and the scars, yep, they can hurt, but they won't cut as deep. And another thing that this provides an opportunity for you to do with those frustrations, what could you be working on? I'm not saying there's something there, but just be working on it, because maybe there's something that the Lord is trying to help you grow in. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.